Jeremy Salemson is your host for Today's Business, only on News Talk 1360 WCHL. Today's Business with your host, Jeremy Salemson.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Today's Business here on 1360 WCHL. I'm Jeremy Salemson, your host, and we are certainly excited to welcome to the studio today Mr. Adam Brown. Adam is managing partner with Louise Beck Properties from right here in Chapel Hill. He is also the president, current president, of the Greater Chapel Hill Association of Realtors. Adam, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm excited to have you here and discussing all the great things that are real estate here in this wonderful town of ours. I want to start off by talking about sort of real estate in terms of what you're seeing from a trend perspective. It seems as though, at least on a national basis, we've started off 2012 on the right foot. Confidence levels are up. Purchase numbers are up here in the triangle as well in terms of what we've seen year over year data. But obviously, as you know extremely well, that real estate is so locally specific that even what's happening in Chapel Hill and Carrboro can be significantly different than what's happening in the triangle or further east as well. So if you would, just give us sort of a brief overview of what you're seeing right now in terms of 2012's activity.
Well, to that point, where we are different than the triangle as a whole, and that's sometimes deceiving as our citizens read the News and Observer and read that headline on the current market conditions as a triangle, it's not necessarily representative of what we see here. And case in point, if you were to look at the year-to-year data for closed sales here in the triangle-wide, you would see a 27% increase in closed sales for the triangle. But if you were to narrow it down to just our community, Chapel Hill, Carrboro, you would see an 11% decrease.
Interesting.
Now, those are bigger numbers, so don't get too scared by 27 and 11. These are small figures. But the difference between 109 homes closed in our community this time versus 123 this time last year.
Right. And when you put it in those terms, obviously it doesn't quite seem to be as dramatic.
No.
And the problem is, you know, we get so much data that is not locally specific, that it's nationally based. You know, the Case-Shiller Home Price Index, which comes out talking about the 20 specific markets that they target each month, of which Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill is not one of those markets. Charlotte is the closest Case-Shiller market that we have here as well. So talk about home prices, if you will, in general. What have you seen in terms of the trend for home prices? Obviously, we were a little more fortunate than many other investment markets across the nation because we didn't see those wild swings of appreciation during the higher times. But did we fall as far as some other areas did?
Yes. And again, I caution listeners to be careful how they interpret the data they see, whether it's on this show or in the News and Observer, because the a community like Chapel Hill, Carrboro, which has $2 million homes and $150,000 homes, if 10 $2 million homes were to sell in the course of 6 months, that can skew very greatly the data,
sure,
the average or the median sales price.
Median home price, absolutely.
And again, if you were to look at today's data for year to date for Chapel Hill, Carrboro, you might hiccup when you see that the average sales price has dropped, quote unquote, from $460,000 per home on average to $349,000. Now, that's not representative of home price drops here in Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Technically, they've been, or statistically speaking, over the last couple of years, they've been very stable.
Yeah.
You know, single-digit decreases in valuation, and we've seen that stabilize here within the last year, 18 months.
Sure. Now, you know, when consumers are coming to you now talking about buying a new home, what is the mindset that you're seeing of consumers? Are they really sort of buying into this renewed optimism that we're starting to see across the country, and even that builders seemingly in this area have started to pick on as well?
So this is anecdotal. This is based on personal experience. And to answer your specific question, no, that's not the mindset I'm experiencing. A more common mindset would be, Adam, the interest rates are so low right now, and I recognize that the price of a property might drop another percent, two or three, but if I can capture the property at this price at 4% or 3.5% mortgage rate, that's better for me long term than waiting for that property to drop 3%, 2% in value, but having to pay a 5% or 5.5% or 6% on a mortgage.
Sure.
So the smart folks out there are doing the math and realizing that it's okay to jump in now and take advantage of those low rates, that does save you money over the long haul.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because you've really got a number of fundamental factors that are working in the favor of the buyer right now. Obviously, as you mentioned, historically low interest rates, and even though we've seen them bump up a little bit over the past week and a half or so, they're still at historic levels. So that's really good news. Inventory levels, to your point, have also sort of flattened out a little bit, where, again, it's still a little bit more of a buyer's market, I'm sure, but becoming more in the favor, at least getting back to that pendulum movement towards the seller side. And then obviously, you know, we have a lot more qualified borrowers in this area. We're very fortunate to have a larger pool than many other areas as well. So are the folks in the Chapel Hill Realtor Association, are they coming to you saying, hey, it does look like this spring is going to be a little bit stronger than in years past?
Again, anecdotally, the optimism is there. Again, from the perspective of the Chapel Hill Association of Realtors, 460 members, that is the mindset. That's the rhetoric of the professionals working in our market. Yeah. They're experiencing more closed sales. Personally, that's, again, the buzz that is talked about at member meetings, and we anticipate that to improve throughout the year.
Well, and you know, I think real estate sort of plays a lot into that psychology, into that mindset of that when people really start to feel good about things, it's spring, the weather starts to get a bit better, and so certainly foot traffic has increased as well, as we've seen both on a national basis as well as locally. And I think a large part of that too has been the better weather that we've had this winter as well. Builders are telling us this, and realtors are telling us this as well. As part of the association, have you seen those the numbers for the number of realtors involved increase, decrease over the past couple of years?
Certainly, and this is nationwide. This is where one trend that has been consistent, whether it's been local, state, or nationally, and that has been a decrease in the number of realtors that are operating in any market.
Sure.
So we've reduced numbers from the 700 range to about 450 range in our market alone. And again, that's consistent in terms of percentages with other communities, both in the state and nationally.
Yeah. And how much conversation do you have with some of the other local real estate agent offices? So in terms of associations, Durham, Chatham County, have you sort of gone to this collaborative approach, or at least getting together to think tank to strengthen the numbers now that sort of the the overall numbers are down, essentially?
Again, the overall numbers are down, but you can choose which lens you decide to look through at that data.
Yeah.
And
I'm sorry, when I say overall numbers are down, I was talking about just the number of realtors actually involved in the association. Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And again, if we're going to look at the total number of transactions that my profession helps transact on behalf of community citizens and so forth, if those numbers are decreasing, then I'm happy to see the number of realtors be modified to meet that new demand. Again, it's supply demand. It's just a different equation.
Absolutely. That's a good point. We have to take our first commercial break. When we want to come back, I want to talk to Adam Moore about the rental market here in Chapel Hill. That's certainly something that he and his firm, Louis Speck Properties, specialize in as well, because I think there are some interesting signs there as to what this economy, what this housing market has done to the rental market. So we'll be back with more in just a minute. You're listening to Today's Business right here on 1360 WCHL.
This is Today's Business, an exclusive presentation of News Talk 1360 WCHL. Now more of today's show with Jeremy Salemson.
Hello and welcome back to our second segment this week. We're here on Today's Business, 1360 WCHL, and we are back talking with Adam Brown, the managing partner of Louise Beck Properties and the current president of the Greater Chapel Hill Association of Realtors. Adam, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So as we were discussing before, I just touched on before, really sort of the purchase market, the mindset of consumers with buying real estate. Let's talk a little bit about renting real estate, as obviously that segment of the market plays a huge role here in Chapel Hill, with obvious pointing to the university and just that undergraduate mindset. So talk a little bit about how the rental market has been over the past couple of years, and then let's get into a discussion as to how the recent real estate downturn has impacted that rental market.
Sure. Two things I would say to answer that question. First, as a whole, the rental market in Chapel Hill and Carrboro remains strong. And recognizing that the overall population of rentals has increased. And a common misconception is that it's anchored by student properties. I manage about 1,000 properties in our town, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Wow. only about 350 of those are student-centric. So it defies conventional wisdom, but the majority of properties that are for rent in our community are not to students.
Interesting.
So recognize that when we talk about the rental market, there's really two categories, and they're very different.
Okay. All right. So let's talk then about the student housing, if you will. You mentioned that because it doesn't seem like we've seen a tremendous amount of new student housing come on the market over the past few years, but perhaps we have. I mean, I know there's been some new construction on Rosemary Street. Obviously, you've got that corridor on what is Martin Luther King Boulevard down to Mill Creek and sort of up and above towards the university. Talk a little bit about what's available right now and perhaps even some new projects that you may be aware of as well.
Happy to. Yes, in the student world, it's not quite as visibly obvious that there's new student inventory, but I will tell you that there is, as a result of the sales market, the inability for some of our homeowners in Chapel Hill and Carrboro to have sold their homes over the last 4 years has resulted in those owners making a decision to rent those properties. And because they're making what I call a damage control decision, they've been much more open to renting to students, whereas in a different environment, they might have chosen not to. As a result, there are more properties available for students to rent in Chapel Hill and Carrboro than in 2008, for example.
Okay.
But they're not new homes.
Right.
They were existing homes
that simply went from purchase to rental market.
You continue to drive by them every day.
Yeah.
They've just changed the composition of the occupant.
So what's that done to rental rates then? Obviously, you know, anytime you increase supply, if demand doesn't keep up, then rates are going to drop. So what has happened in our market?
In the student market, what you've seen is a consolidation. So students have been able to find properties closer to campus, but rents have remained relatively constant, which is a good thing.
Yes.
In this market. Other types of homes in our community that rent to the non-student demographic have seen downward price pressure because there's been a supply increase in that category
right.
as well.
And the demand has not kept up, obviously.
Precisely.
Yeah, as well. So, you know, we were talking sort of during the break, and I think this is just an interesting point. To your point, that a lot of consumers that have moved, have left, that have had a hard time selling their homes, obviously it impacts prices. You know, it forces them either to sell at a lower price or to perhaps flip it into a rental. So does it make it more attractive then for potential investors to want to come in? Because it seems like to me their cash flow at that point, if they're getting a home for a lower price and assuming they can rent it for a dollar amount that makes sense from a cash flow perspective, would make it a pretty attractive investment market, assuming they can get financing, right?
caveat. Yes, financing can be an issue, as are appraisals. So even if you can justify a price for a property based on the income, it's called the income approach to value a property, the appraisers might not be able to find 5-6 comps over the preceding 6 or 12 months to justify that sales price to a potential lender. So we've seen investors run into that obstacle as they've attempted to purchase properties based on that income approach.
Well, and you bring up a good point. So there's obviously that segment of investors that is going to use traditional financing, you know, in terms of a mortgage. What about the investor pool that is using cash? You know, we've seen a lot of these investors certainly across the nation, but it always seems like specifically here there's been more cash available to buy these homes. Talk about your experience with this as well.
I'm glad you brought that up. That segment of investor has come out of the woodwork. And what we've seen is a very dynamic shift in the mindset of many of our retired investors, if that makes sense. So folks mm-hmm. they're in that retirement years, and whereas they might have had a CD at 5% 5 years ago and enjoying that 5% return from BB&T, SunTrust, that CD is no longer 5%. It's 0.5% or 1% at
right.
best. They're pulling cash out, $250,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, and paying dollar for dollar, full price in cash, and they're able to achieve a 5, a 6, a 7, an 8% return on student and non-student properties.
Right.
And when you add in the tax benefits, depreciation, and so forth, then it makes that return even more attractive.
Sure, and hopefully, you know, they're looking at an investment that while it may not be happening today necessarily, will appreciate over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
That's their bet.
So it brings me to my next question, which I think is interesting. Obviously, you said you managed over 1,000 properties. Can we talk a little bit about some advice for potential investors that are looking to get into the market and some traditional pitfalls to be aware of, whether you're a first-time investor thinking about buying your first, whether it be condo or home, or if you're an experienced investor and you're looking to just simply add to your portfolio?
I am full of opinions, yes. First, I would encourage any investor to seek the advice of someone who does this for a living, and this might be self-promotion, but talk to any realtor that works specifically with investment property. That expertise will save that investor time, stress, money, both today and in 10 years. And that aside, once you've taken that first step, then recognize that you have to remove emotion from this game. This is a spreadsheet decision. And if it doesn't make sense on a spreadsheet, it doesn't matter that you love the color of the door. Don't buy it. If I could say those two things to the folks listening, that would be a giant leap forward for the average investor that's just coming into the mix.
Sure. And obviously, you know, for the experienced investor, would you say that it's a ripe time to be looking at investment properties here in Chapel Hill and Carrboro, or is it still perhaps time to wait for a bit?
I would jump in now. And I would point to those that are experienced and doing the same thing. So the folks that have done this for careers, folks that are privy to that good information, that have created relationships with those smart realtors that work with investment properties, they're doing it now. Join the bandwagon. Money's cheap. Yeah. I don't know how else to say it. You're not going to find 4% money right. For the rest of our respective lifetimes.
Yeah. And to your point also, are you finding that people are having success in getting into the investment properties on the mortgage side as well? Certainly with the single family homes. And obviously, the condos have been a bit of an issue as well, whether or not they're warrantable or not. What's your experience been on that just quickly?
Consistent improvement over the last 2 years. Good. And I could speak to a couple of the firms that we work with and refer to. I would encourage those consumers or investors to go reach out to those folks before you start the process. Let them look through your material, tell you what you're capable of affording, and then begin that search process with that realtor.
Wonderful. That's great advice. We got to take our second commercial break. We'll be back with more of Adam Brown here in just a moment. You're listening to Today's Business right here on 1360 WCHL.
This is Today's Business, an exclusive presentation of News Talk 1360 WCHL. Now, more of today's show with Jeremy Salemson.
Hello, and welcome back to our third and final segment this week. You're listening to Today's Business here on 1360 WCHL. We're back with Adam Brown of Louise Beck Properties from right here in Chapel Hill. Welcome back, Adam.
Thank you.
So as we were discussing before the break, if I'm an investor and I've got a number of properties and perhaps that I maybe manage myself, at what point does it make sense to consider a property management company? Any advice for those listening today that perhaps might be in that boat?
Yes. And the way I help investors who own 1 or 10 or 20 or 70 properties help determine whether it makes sense to transition to a professionally managed company is to evaluate how much they enjoy doing what they do. The most recent story was a Chapel Hill resident who was on the roof of one of his several properties, and his wife, they're in their 70s, told him that she would divorce him if she found him on another roof.
Oh dear.
So that's one reason to seek professional management, keep your relationship intact. But frankly, it comes down to the spreadsheet I mentioned before. This should be unemotional. Evaluate our ability, a professionally managed property management company's ability to rent your property. And if I can do that in 7 days and it takes you on average 21 days, right. What's that lost income? And start adding that up over 1, 2, 10, 20 properties, and very quickly you'll realize that we pay for ourselves.
Not to mention the stress involved with all that yourself as well. Good advice. And listen, as we end the show, we always like to leave our listeners with a bit of advice, and you brought up a great data point that you've got some insight into as well. One of the key factors, and I'll let you get into this, it really has been days on the market, as we've seen here in the Triangle. Talk about some advice you have for sellers in today's market as it relates to that days on the market data point.
Sure. And just to expand on what you just said, Chapel Hill and Carrboro residents need to recognize that that's one trend line that is not working in their favor. We have consistently increased the days on market. We're at about 170 days on market on average right now. And that is more than it was this time last year at about 130 to 140 days, depending on how you measured it. But the data point that I would point to, and this is specifically directed to sellers, is look closely at how you price your property. I know most of you are working with a realtor and evaluating that price, but note that as of today, today's February, March timeframe of 2012, the average price as a percent of the original list price that a property sells for is 95%. Let me say that more simply. So if you list a property at $100,000, you're likely to achieve $95,000. And a more telling data point is if you originally listed that property at $105,000, you're likely to achieve about a $90,000 to $91,000 price point. So recognize that the percentage that you can expect for a property is about 90% of what you listed at. So start off on day one, multiplying your sales price by 0.9, and you'll be better off.
Be proactive. Listen to your expert realtor. Price it appropriately, and hopefully you'll see those days on the market decrease over time. Mr. Adam Brown, we are out of time. I want to thank you so much for that wonderful insight and great advice, seriously, for folks, whether you're in the rental market, whether you're in the purchase market, whether you're buying or selling. I think 2012 is going to be a good year for the housing market. We've certainly seen that start off so far. And we wish you well as the president for the Chapel Hill Association of Realtors. Hopefully things will continue. Thanks so much for coming today and being here as our guest. If you want to find out more about Adam and Louise Beck Properties, you can do that on the web at two sites for their property management. You can find them at louisebeckproperties.com. And for sales, you can find them thinklouisebeck.com. As always, we want to thank you for listening to today's business right here on 1360 WCHL. I'm Jeremy Salemson, and we'll see you next time.